delivery, elevates the cross, Bain is there! Hawksby's got a hat-trick. It's a first-half hat-trick for the young woman from Wollongong.
Sarah's looking to hit, Grant's at the back post, and did he find it beautifully? And what a finish from Ryan Grant off the underside of the crossbar. It's a trademark goal for Sydney's veteran defender.
As Samuel L. Jackson says at the conclusion of every episode of Sky Blue Stories, enough is enough. Sydney FC floundered to a 4-0 loss, the worst of the season, worst derby loss in history, worst home loss since 2011 in the A-League. Through fortune, we're still in the final spots, but the writing is very much on the walls. The CEO has spoken, the captain has spoken, the manager has not, and the fans have very much had their say. Tonight on Sky Blue Stories, we have ours as the A-League women rue a 95th-minute equaliser, and the NPL boys pull off an incredible last-gasp victory themselves to keep our spirits away from murderous and self-deprecating to more of a settling feeling of inevitability and hope. It's Jonathan Finger with you alongside the pride of Blacktown District Soccer Football Association, Julian Ballenbach, and the pride of Sydney FC supporters' I Told You So campaign, Sean Maloney.
I've been saying it for 2.5 years. I feel a little bit vindicated.
I'm the executive vice president of the I Told You So Foundation as well.
You are.
Can we get a striptease to knock me up a t-shirt?
I think so.
I told you so.
2.5 years, yeah. Yeah, 2.5 years.
Yeah. Maybe, everyone thought, oh, I was mad. Like, oh, you're so
well, you probably were. You probably were two and a half years ago.
I'm my crystal ball.
But, gents, we've got to laugh because we very much would be crying, I dare say. Maybe still wiping a few tears away from Saturday night. Maybe stopping our heads from shaking side to side. maybe it stops pretty soon because... You know, I think this result's been coming, hasn't it?
Probably the overwhelming feeling for me is I'm tired. I'm tired of, like, you know, we've talked about Groundhog Day. It's like deja vu, history repeating itself. Like, this is the, I feel like every month we have this kind of discussion, and each time it gathers a bit more pace, you know, whatnot, a bit more weight to it. And going to be negative, but I'm tired of this season. I just want it to be over. I'm looking forward to an off season and as a, more of a positive road ahead and somebody new at the helm.
It's a very, very good word to use, I think, Sean. Jules, you're a new dad. Are you more tired of dad duties or tired of the football performances that our men's team's putting out every week?
Between the two of them, I'm not getting a wink. look, in all seriousness, I think I echo the sentiments that Sean's just gone through there. I've been tired for some time. It's gotten to a tipping point now where it was already moving into apathy. And I think that's certainly how I feel about not the club. Like, I always love the club, no matter what, through thick and thin. I always love the club, but we can be disappointed with the results. We can be disappointed with the way we play, the effort we have, the pride in the shirt. And I think that was some of the things that probably hurt me the most on Saturday, was just, I'd fucking die for this club if I was good enough to play for it or be involved in some sort of football capacity. So to see others not do the same is kind of a slap in the face to everyone that cares about this club.
Well said. I think the other word that we've come up, boys, and we may as well look, let's continue on this line as we're on it. The other word that's been sort of flown about is untenable. And I really think that after a result like that, it's untenable. You know, it's clear that's it for Bimby as far as I'm concerned. I think I was talking to you and some others in the post-match talking in past tense because it's got to happen. And in my opinion, it will. You know, and we've sort of said, I think it was after the Knicks result where Alfie unfortunately blasted two penalties wide and we lost that game, but played absolute dross. I think it was that game when, you know, we just threw the term out there, when.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was.
It's well beyond a reasonable doubt now. We're well past, beyond the horizon. You know, Bimby's a dot on the horizon now as far as I'm concerned. He's well, for me, in the review mirror. But it's not just the perform, like the results that have really hurt and sickened, disappointed me. It's poor decisions tactically, poor decisions in terms of formation and who starts, the neglect of our youth players. We've got some really great fellas banging on the door, even more fellas banging on the door. We'll get to the NPL fellas and their fucking amazing win on the weekend. There's a little bit of joy for us. Poor recruitment with particularly the likes of Jack Rodwell. And then just the same old rhetoric, same old lines after the game. And also, and we've said this before, like he's just his demeanor on the sideline. He looks like he's given up and he's checked out. Something needs to change.
It's a sad state of affairs.
And, you know, a lot of mediocrity has already slipped in and we can't slip any further. And it's beyond a reasonable doubt now that Stephen Corica is not the man for this team, is not the manager for us, and a new direction is needed.
And it'll come. It'll come. It's inconceivable almost to think that we're in a finals position. Like, how bad are the rest of the teams?
I saw Joey Lynch. He commentates quite well on the game. And if it weren't for the shitness of Jets, United, Brisbane, etc.
Did he use that word? Or
shitness?
I like that.
No, it's far more...
You're paraphrasing?
Paraphrasing, but far more articulate. As your old man says, Jules, El Crapico. if it weren't for the shittiness of other teams, we'd be well and truly out of the six. We're not playing like a sixth place team. And you look at we've had more losses than we've had wins. We've conceded more than what we've scored. We should not be where we are. And people, don't be fooled. The table lies. We're not playing like what a finals team in the top six suggests. We are playing really terrible football.
I think that's the thing I've noticed, just to interject there, is that there were some people, whether you want to call them, some would call them Bimby apologists, others would call them patient, supporters, let's put it that way.
Patience.
But, patience, but even the most patient of accounts that you see on Twitter floating around that will defend, the manager at any turn and every turn, it seemed, they've run out of patience, or they're at least going towards that. I have not seen one positive word from the weekend or one word saying.
And you asked for them.
I did ask for them.
I haven't seen one person still say, but however, he's still accomplished. Yeah. And he had, that is.
We gone. Still might win the grand final. We still might win the grand final.
Tumbleweeds.
There's optimism, Santo, and then there's just delusion.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, look, and he's in a tough position. I get that. As we said, even if a decision's been made, you're not going to announce it now, are you? Five games left. Like, It
wouldn't make any sense. No sense in it.
It'd please. Well, please is probably the wrong word. You know, the all of us clambering for action, which it's well past. Like, it's well past. I think we all agree it's well past time for action. The time for words is well past. So that's what was so frustrating about Adam's tweet and then Wilco's statement that I'm not sure why they felt that was a good move. Similar to the bang average chat that the socials were putting out all week, I guess. But just like we just got to, we've really got to move, look to the future.
Really look at the future. There's a little bit of chat on Twitter. What's today? Tuesday, isn't it? Uffy, you know, there's apparently Victory are making moves. Would you two want an Australian coach? Do you want an international coach? Do you want an old head, whether they be international or not? Do you want a younger head? Like, what do you see as a fit for Sydney FC going forward?
It's a hard one, really.
You can't put yourself in the mix, Jules. You know, got to look.
No.
Impressive as your resume.
Yeah. Super impressive. No. In all seriousness, I think Uffy wouldn't be the worst choice at all. I think he'd be a really good choice. What he's done with Wellington, you know, with a fairly limited budget, a lot of displacement over the years that he's been there. I think he's done a fantastic job to build a culture of, you know, doing their absolute best and, you know, literally pinching every last bit of potential out of the players that he has at his disposal. And there's no doubt if he got the opportunity, much like how I sort of see it, like almost like a Graham Arnold, you know, at Central Coast, again, brilliant potential in terms of his players, but just got the most out of them. Then he comes to a bigger club, no disrespect, with a bigger budget, and he does bits. So maybe Uffy would be of that same ilk. But outside of that, you know, there's obviously a couple of candidates. I think we just need somebody that's not afraid to challenge the status quo and play an attractive and free-flowing brand of football, which we haven't seen probably in the last 2 or 3 years.
Is there one or two things, either of you boys, that irks you the most when it comes to Corica's reign as coach, as manager? Is there something that really grinds your gears in particular, or is it just the Marbo? Is it the vibe? Is it?
Well, the biggest risk we are going to run into is the future and what players stay and what players choose to look for opportunities elsewhere. Now, we've got a pretty full roster for next year, boys. We actually don't have a lot of players coming off contract. The good thing is those players coming off contract possibly aren't ones that have earned another contract.
Who are some of those?
So players coming off contract at the end of this season, James Donaghy,
yeah.
Joel King, Alex Wilkinson, Paolo Retre, Alfie, Pat Wood, Caballo and Hewitt Bell. So there's quite a few starting players in there.
Jonathan?
Maybe 5 starting players.
I'd only keep one of those 8. You want to have it a guess which one I'd keep?
Tom Hewitt Bell.
Yeah, 100%. I'm emotions aside, I've calmed down since Saturday night. I'd be quite content with all those first 7 names to go on to greener pastures or off to the glue factory or whatever it might be.
And when we get a new manager, they're going to have to have visa spots, and they're going to have some cash to play with. And I think that list
That's 2 visa spots, isn't it? In that list,
it is. Yeah, I think that gives us some flexibility. But the positive thing about that is that our young brigade, who currently are being left to rot in football wilderness, thanks to the manager's reluctance or refusal to utilize the weapons that he's got at his disposal, the good thing is that they are contracted. So Kacharski's contracted, Segicic is contracted, Gerd's contracted, Girdwood Reich is contracted, Pavlicic is contracted, Alex Parsons is contracted beyond this season. So that is a positive. But unfortunately, due to them actually being incredible talents, it doesn't mean that clubs won't come in with transfer fees or they won't ask to leave for European opportunities. So,
on the flip side of that as well, you know, contracts are, you know, what, you know, not even worth the paper they're written on at times. So there's always a way that we could mutually terminate, I'm sure, some of those contracts. Yeah. Obviously, it would cost the club some money, but if that was at the expense of, you know, I don't know how that works with the salary cap, if it still counts for next year, if we were to terminate, but if it weren't, then maybe that's an avenue that the club looks to take if there is somebody.
Yeah. So to answer your question, Sean, the reluctance to play youth from our NPL system, scholarship contracts, when there is opportunity to do so, and you cannot argue that there has not been opportunity to do so, that potentially fucks us in the future, because you end up with players, young players, that look at a manager and go, "Oh, we're not gonna get played here."
Yeah, the Tilios and the like, fuck off somewhere else. Jules, what as the most qualified footballing brain amongst us three,
how dare you?
What? I'll speak for myself. Why is he so reluctant to play our younger fellas? Like, we've got the most, if not one of the best academies in the country. They make you know, young Socceroos. You saw how Sega did so well overseas recently. Our NPL boys last season into this season, etc., well and truly punch above their weight, and we'll wax lyrical about the massive win against Sydney United, top of the table, undefeated Sydney United over the weekend. Why are they not being played? Why are they not getting more minutes? What is his mindset?
It's a bit like, obviously it's hard to say because you're not there on the day to day and that sort of thing. But, you know, from an outsider looking in, and probably trying to put two and two together and hopefully making four instead of five, it seems like he likes to use players that have been at the club for a long time or that he feels he can trust. I think that that's the biggest thing, is that, you know, as much as we knock around and say trust the youth as a throwaway comment, I think it is just that. Perhaps he doesn't trust the youth. I mean, that's the only way you can really find some sort of reasoning for playing a left back at left wing, multiple, like back-to-back games, and just be absolutely fall flat on its face in terms of a tactic or obviously a personal placement on the starting 11. So that's the only way. That's the only thing I can see, is that I think he just goes with what he feels is tried and proven, but I don't think that really is the case.
Yeah, but he's got a very warped perception of what is tried and proven. It's very different to yours, mine, ours, what is tried and proven. Yeah, I think it's, yeah, trust, anxiety, nervousness. And in his mind, he's trying to...
A lack of bravery.
Yeah, just not courageous enough.
You do have to trust these players, because at the end of the day, they're getting their chance and they're performing. Yes, they're not going to, you know, I don't know what he's expecting. Is he expecting Kaczowski in that like 10 or 15 minutes to knock a hat trick in and say, "Oh, well, then I have to start him"? You know, the kids need a little bit of time to ingratiate themselves into a side and actually get into the rhythm of a game. Obviously, Kaczowski got 45 minutes after we were, you know, pretty much almost out of the contest anyway, in my opinion, even at halftime, whether it be 2-0 or not, we're just completely out of it as it stood anyway. But that's the thing, is that fortune favours the brave, and he hasn't been brave with his squad selections at all this season. And I would dare say probably throughout his tenure at Sydney, and probably until it ends.
Yeah, very conservative. And I agree with Jamie, or Sides of the Harbour, did a post on Twitter sometime in the last 24 or so hours, and saying, with the international break, Western United, Saturday week, what changes do we expect to see? And I was pretty much like, well, none, other than Max and Alfie coming back. Otherwise, he'll just wheel out the same 11, just same old, same arm, same tactic, same formation, or lack thereof. But, yeah. Really uninspiring stuff.
Cool. That was fun. Yeah. Good chat, boys. Good chat. Let's fall in line. Let's go through our usual
programming.
Thank you. Yeah, you regular scheduled program.
Yeah, thank you. Let's kick it off with a bit of around the grounds.
Grounds.
Now, it was disappointing not to see Alex Parsons take the field last Saturday. We sure as hell could have used him, although chances are he would have been put on the bench anyway. But the young fella has picked up an MCL injury, so that he'll be out for about roughly a month, and then he'll come back and probably end up on the bench again.
Who's the guilty party? Who did it to him?
Somebody knocked him. Maybe Corica did. I don't know.
A drunk player at training, apparently.
Nice. I was going to say Caballo just so he could, you know, start up top.
And it's been, I think I saw 450 odd days, but Mac has been called up to the Slovakian men's national team Slovakia men's team, national team against the might of Luxembourg and Bosnia Herzegovina. So they've got a couple of games there. Were they Euro qualifiers? Could they be?
I don't know, actually.
I think they are qualifiers. So the international break for us just coincides with the obviously the qualifiers for Euro 2024 in Germany.
Isn't that I mean, apparently there is Slovakia's main winger is injured. I did hear. Not sure who that is. Sorry, my football knowledge is mainly Australian related. Surprising selection, especially after over a year. Good on him.
Good luck to him.
All that keep up advertising about how global a game we are is obviously working.
These moves are looking real nice in the future.
all the present.
Yeah.
And Jono, you put a tweet out today being Tuesday. About our goalkeeping production line, how insane it is. And then, you know, when Redders, for one reason or another, moves on from Sydney FC, heads off to that primary school classroom, our production line of puppy. our goalkeeper stocks are just insane. Tommy Hewitt-Bell is more than capable of leading the line in goals between the sticks, I should say. Pavlicic is just fantastic. And when Pav's not there, Gus is well.
Hufslut.
And who's the other young keeper?
Max Fartuli.
That's the one.
Who, if you remember, at the end of last season, found himself on the bench in a derby. I think Redmayne was out with the ruse and Tommy might have had a cold or COVID or something. Pavlicic debuted in the A-League and young Max Fartuli, who I think was 16 at the time, was their backup. So Max is still at the club. He's sort of moving between 18s and 20s, depending on what's happening in the NPL. But 2 weeks in a row to have a different goalkeeper get team of the week and more than well deserved. Pavlicic keeping a clean sheet against, you know, at the time top of the table, Sydney United, and it's not like he didn't have anything to save. He was on fire. Some very acrobatic, very acrobatic saves, which I think Pav's getting a little bit of a reputation for. So good on him. Great to see. And it's a bit sad, Jules, that, you know, goalkeepers tend to mature and you know, they don't get senior football really until they're sort of mid to late 20s, unless something goes wrong at a club.
Yeah, it's just, I think, because of the longevity of a goalkeeper's career more than what a normal outfield player is, it's just sort of,
And there's only one of them.
Exactly. Unless there's that changing of the guard, like you pretty much alluded to, like it's very difficult to crack that. Or there's a major injury and then just take your chance. Yeah.
Must be difficult. It's as a backup goalkeeper. Like, do you bide your time or do you go elsewhere? You know, we've just named 3 under 20 year old goalkeepers. You know, Redders is contracted for another 2 years, I think. Tommy, as we said, is off contract. So does Tommy go, oh, you know, I'm mid-20s now, I need to look for a first team opportunity, or
I wouldn't begrudge him if he did, because he's too good of a keeper, you know, to be just stuck on the bench. Yeah.
And Pav moves into second choice, or So we know Pavlicic has trialed overseas already, looking for an opportunity. His brother, I think, plays for the Scum, and has made some underage Australian teams. So yeah, be interesting to see what the other unfortunate thing for Sydney FC is that Gus Hufslund and Max Vartuli both do hold dual visas. So both hold European passports. So it's a good problem to have for our nursery as usual.
All right, well, that's I think that's all I've got for Around the Ground. It's a fairly short one this week.
Nice. Let's talk about the most depressing game of the weekend.
The girls have been a little bit depressed, but
they were actually. I was about to say maybe not. Maybe we've just accepted this from the A-League men. But we'll talk about the A-League men first. I think I was a little bit more depressed about the 95th minute equaliser from Melbourne City against the women, but but that's all right. So Sydney FC 0, Western Sydney Wanderers 4. As I said in the intro, biggest ever derby loss, biggest loss at home in 12 years, apart from a Kashima Antlers game where we'd already, Perth Jules, the famous grand final victory 2019, and I think we literally played the kids because we had a midweek game 3 days after a grand final in Perth. a terrible result. An okay crowd, wasn't probably as many as they were hoping.
No, it was, and I got to admit, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, depressed and salty after the loss, but
you are
I am a bit, but hang on, let me get it out. I think three derbies, it gets a little bit exhausting, tiring. I think three loses its a little bit of a shine to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first one,
agreed.
Big build up, whether it's at theirs or ours, but in our instance, it was at Allianz, which is great and exciting. First derby at the new stadium, and then you know, the second one, we wanted revenge, so to speak, and try and get something back. And then the third one's like, it's just I couldn't get up for it as much as the previous two. The game I'm talking about, and so I think eventually, when we get more teams into the comp, etc., and just to do a typical home and away, I think that'll be much better. But, the crowd was down. The vibe was down. Got on the cove. They were working their ass off and cheering frantically, enthusiastically for 90 minutes. It was a pretty depressing night. And boys, we did not get going at all. I can't remember much in terms of our football, in terms of playing with any kind of, not dominance, but any kind of...
continuity?
Yeah, and they outplayed us, you know. In the words of Daft Punk, bigger, better, faster, stronger.
Easily, I think so. Actually, just before you've just given me some homework to give to Rowdy, because that's a really good point there, Sean. So Rowdy, we know you're listening. So I'm not going to say if you're listening. Is that third derby, in comparison to the max capacity of the stadium, the lowest attendance by percentage?
Oh,
very obscure. Ooh. Very obscure there. But I think that, Sean, you're onto something. Ooh. There. I think that third derby, almost every single year, yields the worst crowd in terms of
the capacity. The last derby
of a season.
The last derby we had at Cogra, didn't it draw like 11,000 or something?
Yeah, so there you go. So I think I think you're onto something there, Sean. I agree. I think just before we obviously deep dive into
this is stuff, why,
yeah.
This is why we are the greatest Sydney FC podcast.
Number one. That's what I tell all the ladies. It's on my profile.
Number one Sydney podcast.
Doing so well. Look, it's a failed experiment. I had Caballo up at left wing again. I'll get more to that because I don't want to spoil my villain of the week again. But look, 13th minute, fucking Borrello. It was a above bang average of a pass straight into Leuni. Is that how I pronounce it? He's also been called up for the Turkish team. And then it's just
Tunisian.
Sorry, I saw President Moon. I just thought I should be saying Turkia. Into the path, a little bit of a one-on-one to Redders, and just pops it over to his left to Yengi, and then a little bit of shithouser in front of the cove. That was the first of two instances that led to a goal that King was just turned inside out and left in the Uni's wake. Agree.
Am I right that Yengi has scored two goals this year, both against us?
Yeah,
I think so. He's parading
himself around like that. What a fucking tosser! Honestly,
yeah. Look, it's he's the king of shithousery when it comes to
I think he's just shithouse.
Well, he is. Like, I don't think he's very good. Like, and I don't think a lot of Wanderers fans actually think he's that good of a player either. They're not that delusional.
I just don't know if he's contributed that much to their season.
No.
Anyway.
No, I agree.
Maybe I'm salty now.
But then, boys, barely 10 minutes later, a certain player who used to play for us picks up the ball in our half and just lays it on a plate. Nice through ball for Amore again. One touch, knocks the ball, past Redders into the back of the net. Again, Joel got turned inside out and lost sight of his opposition player again. And look, on another note, I thought King was absolutely horrible on the night. He was so poor. He was so slow. No wonder he got hooked at. It wasn't half time, but eventually he got hooked.
It was half time.
So yeah, Caballo went back there. And then I think that's why Kucharski and the like. And eventually the younger kids and Wood and Seger came on. Look, in terms of our chances through the night, Rodwell, he had a chance not long before half time. Probably our best chance fell to Grant in the second half. A bit of a point blank save, and then it ricocheted off Lawrence Thomas again. And I think Mac had another go at it, I think. But I want to just draw your attention to the Neuenhoff goal. And it was a great goal by Callum.
We have to.
Yeah, we have to. Because I want to turn the spotlight onto Paolo. And I encourage anybody to look at the highlights, look at the replay, etc. The bloke gave up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
We did get asked to watch his entire game, but I haven't had the desire or intention to do that, so I apologize.
Who asked us?
I can't recall. Oh, you know the source. Are you related to the source? I think you might be, actually.
He was shit. He was shit, and that was inexcusable effort. I'm sorry.
I haven't gone back to watch it, I must admit.
It's not good enough. Nowhere near good enough.
You know, after Saturday night, the game finished, and I'm on the tram back home and all that, and on the train, you know, hunger, desire, intensity, that was the epitome and his effort or lack thereof to close down Callum was just representative of the whole night. It was absolutely atrocious, and he should be embarrassed. And she never set foot on Sydney FC's field again, certainly as not as a starting player. It was embarrassing. He just gave up. He didn't bother to lunge in with a tackle, maybe draw a foul, something. Shut him the fuck down. The bloke's got a bit of a trigger on him, and he's not afraid to take a shot from outside the box. And Paolo just flat out just gave up. Just a bit like, man, hopefully he'll miss, and maybe Redders will pull off a save. But there was just no desire. To put yourself, your body on the line to make a tackle, to make a block. It was atrocious.
It's not that hard to just, he was always about 3 or 4 feet in front of him. And he looked like he was about to close him down and then actually slowed down. Like, just, it doesn't, for me, if you're not up for making those extra runs or that extra effort in a derby, then you'll never be up for it, ever. So, yeah, it said a lot about that whole, I don't know, effort-wise, and like those words you said, desire and grit, like those things that should just, that's a non-negotiable, should be a non-negotiable for this club, for players that represent this club. So, yeah. Disappointing.
And then they scored another goal, but oh well, who gives a shit? We were fucking terrible on the night.
You should have said that after the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. And
You could say we were fucking bang average, Sean.
So bang average. Bang average would be, yeah. I'd actually, in the context of how we've been going, I'd like to be bang average, but we were so below par.
I quite enjoyed the bants from a Wanderers fan to one of our tweets about that. And he said, you could actually say that you were bang, 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 bang average. I thought that was quite clever.
Not bad. Yeah, there's been, credit where credit's due. There's been some decent tweets that have gone around, to be fair, referencing that. And we've got done twice this year from social media.
Fucking lollies.
Brought on ourselves a little bit, yeah. I think it's a little bit embarrassing.
But Sean, we spoke about this in the pod, or I did anyway. You said you didn't mind the bit of banter, and
to a degree, you got to know when to fucking stop.
But why can't we just be a professional fucking football club, guys? Like, why do we have to have banter? Does every football club have to have banter?
We've become a meme club so quickly that we didn't even realize.
I was doing a little bit of,
I'm yelling at a cloud here. Sorry.
I was doing a bit of prep and research, and I just jumped onto our City FC's YouTube channel, and like 10 of the past 12 videos that they'd posted were all the bang average, blah, 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 bang average, blah, 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 like over and over. Like, do it once. They're like that bloke at a party. He says one joke and everybody laughs, and he's like, oh, okay. Quit while you're ahead. And he says a second, and he says a third, and before you know it, everybody just wants to glass him.
As someone said, the week to do that is the week immediately after we've beaten them, and then that's it. Move on.
Yeah.
You know,
should have let our football do the talking. Although,
you make one TikTok and then be done
fucking
with it.
Mute. Yeah, we'd be a fucking mute if that was the case, Sean.
What to do? So much to, like, there's a lot to talk about this game, but I feel like we're kind of going over old topics, old territory, whether it be the failed Caballo experiment up at left wing. And I don't hold it against the bloke. You know, he plays where the manager tells him, but it's fucking stupid. Don't do it again. You got rocks in your head, Steve, if you do it again. Rodwell, if he's well enough to be on the bench, start the bloke. You know, despite his shitty head, start him.
I reckon he'll start. Next week.
He wasn't too bad, to be fair. His distribution from the back was pretty decent for the most part.
He'll start against Western for sure.
Look, there were some blokes that toiled away on the night. Like, no one to speak up in glowing. But, Bratz toiled. I felt Mac kind of toiled away. Who else I thought was all right? Lolly, I find like Lolly always tries. But there was not a moment where I can look back over that 90 minutes and compliment any one of them really for how they played.
No. And the style, again, I have to go back to it. So fucking one-dimensional. So one-dimensional and so stupid. These long diagonal balls constantly is not how we're going to break down an opposition, because newsflash, when you're able to kick a ball from one end of the pitch to another, you're going to give the opposition time enough to reset and get across there. I love it when a team tries to play a switch ball, because I know that if we're structured enough, we're going to get there just as the ball arrives to his feet, and we've closed down and he has to go backwards. And that's what happened every fucking time. If we actually hit the target, we were able to get forward. If we didn't, then they went on the attack, the counter attack straight away.
They put up a stat at one point. It was around the 70th minute, I think, Jules, where it said, you know, Sydney FC crosses into the box 38 to Wanderers, you know, 4. Mm. Did we forget that we weren't playing with a recognised 9?
Yeah.
Let alone a target man. Like, Janko left 7 years ago, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobo left, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah, that would have been unreal if we were able to do that with Bobo last season.
So predictable.
The mind boggles.
Mm. Yeah. And it wasn't only that. We tried to play flat balls in behind against, you know, especially on Marcello's side. The guy's like 6 foot six. Bro, you're not winning a header against the guy.
6 foot fucking six.
But you know, I know it's a small league that we've got. You know, it's not like the EPL with 20 odd teams and anything like that. But you know, they had three very recent old faces in their team, and they all played really well. I hate to say it, they played really well.
Yep, Ninko rolled back the years. He was pretty good.
And young Aiden Simmons playing there. Yep. Was it right back? I think he was, Johnny.
Mm. Yeah. Oh look, that you know what, we were really really shit, but we have to also say that they were good, and it pains me to say it, but they were good. So like, you know, they've clicked in a way. This Lainey bloke is some fucking player, to be fair. He's some.
I was about to say, in Joel King's defense, he's not the first left back that bloke's done that to in the last 4 or 5 weeks. Oh,
he's actually very decent. So, yeah. Oh, well.
Depressing. Let's move on. Let's move the fuck on.
Can we not do the SFC votes? Can we abstain?
I didn't vote for anyone.
Well, I voted for Hewitt Bell as the player of the match in the official vote. So that probably shows as serious as I was about
Scarcella.
I was going to say, was Matt Scarcella on the bench? I'll vote for him.
He got. I think he got like 10% of the vote, which just shows people don't. Read the room, guys. Don't
Bruno Cazarin
match out.
Bruno Cazarin.
Yes.
Yara.
I haven't made that joke for a long time.
Trent McClanahan.
Oh jeez, now you're stretching the friendship, Jules.
Bo Bush.
Bowie. Yeah, he can have a vote. Sydney Derby racked up nice big ugly fucking bow on it. There was another fairly depressing result on the weekend, gents. Yeah. Sydney FC versus Melbourne City in the A-League Women's Comp. A win would have sent us within a point of the Premier's plate at the time, before Western United got some points back for Brisbane cheating.
Canberra, you mean?
No.
What? Brisbane cheating? Oh, I did see something about that. Yeah.
Brisbane played a player that was supposed to be suspended due to accumulation of yellow cards.
What is this fucking amateur hour bullshit that's going on?
And so they beat Western United, but then Western United got a 3-0 victory. So unbelievable.
Has our camera
so
have we?
It's all done and dusted. The points are ours. The points are ours. Yeah. No official release, but it's well past the deadline.
Yeah, fuck. Thanks, Brisbane pricks. Damn you, Katrina Gorries. Blaming her. Look, we had so Melbourne City was the game. Are we going to jump into it? Or you got something else to say?
Yes. 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 Go for it.
All right. So we had Melbourne City, a very disappointing 1-1 draw. Although there was, you know, it's nice to have Nat back. And Shay, it certainly made a difference in that kind of middle of the field, that kind of spine with Shay sitting, you know, deep as a defensive mid and Nat in her usual spot at centre back, Jada between the sticks. You know, for the most part, we're all over them like a cheap soup, like white on rice. And the goal scored by Courtney was like, Mo Salah, running down, you know, she was shades of Mo. Lovely. Like from the corner, boom, turn and go, counter attack. Lovely ball from Hunter releasing Courtney, and she was just As attractive as Julia Grosso is trying to chase down Courtney, she was never going to catch her. A little crush on her anyway. I digress. And then just slotted it perfectly past the keeper. It was a great fucking goal, but I'm disappointed with the girls, if I'm going to be brutally honest. That goal should have – that's 2 weeks in a row that they've conceded from a corner.
Mm.
2 weeks in a row that conceding from a corner has meant that the girls drop points. I don't know how you – Jules, how do you coach, you know?
Oh, well, they'll be doing a lot of set piece training in terms of defensive set piece and going over – you know, whatever their system is, whether it be man marking or a combination of zone or man marking, but I think it's the combination. I don't think it's purely man marking or purely zonal, but yeah, they'll be reviewing that. He's too good of a coach, Juric, to let that slide, and he'll be working on it 100%.
Yeah, he leaves no stone unturned, but it was just disappointing when they were by far and large the better team on the day. They'll rue the chances. They should have put two or three of them away. There was, you know, it would have helped to have Maddie Haley, Jono. I think we're missing. Rachel was much better this week, despite not scoring, but we're missing that number nine, that out and out, knows how to find the back of the net.
Yeah.
Sarah had a great shot from the 30th minute. A lovely neat little cross into the box from Anna Green that landed beautifully on Rachel's head. She just needed a little bit more oomph to direct it past the keeper. And then I almost lost my shit. I think it was at half time almost? Yeah. Mabini lunges in, and then the defender's is going in, I think, for all money, but then she's tried to clear it, the defender, and has headed it? I think headed it into her own post, only for it to ricochet away. Abini had a one-on-one that she hit the side netting. Rach had a one-on-one herself that her touch was just a bit heavy, and then kind of to lunge a little bit forward to get a pass. I can't remember what their goalkeeper's name. I've forgotten it.
She had a great game, though.
Yeah.
Their keeper.
Yeah, so look.
But basically, I guess where it leaves us is any advantage that we had with those two games is now gone, and we don't find ourselves at the top. So that, you know, if we hadn't got those Canberra points, gents, we'd be
in strife.
Yeah, we'd be 4 points off with only one game in hand. So I think 1 point from the last 2 weeks is definitely below what the expectations were. Mm. So, look, the good thing is Madison Haley should be back, Sean, for the next game this weekend against Adelaide. Absolutely crucial game in the scheme of things. We've got three games left. They're all against teams outside of the four must-wins, really, must-wins. And I think two of the three are home games.
Yeah, we'll talk about, you know, we've got a Cogra game this weekend. There's a midweek, I think. Cogra is also midweek next week, I want to say, the 22nd. No.
My apologies. They're all 29th. Home games.
They're all home games. They're all.
Yeah.
So three Cogra games. No.
Yeah, Wednesday 29th, we've got a match as well. Yeah.
Yep. So Adelaide United, 3 p.m., 25th of March, this Saturday. Then we've got Wednesday, as you said, Jules, Sydney versus Perth at Netstrata Jubilee, 7 p.m. And then there's a double header where the girls play their last regular season game at Allianz Stadium at 5 o'clock on Saturday, the 1st of April, April Fool's Day.
Against Newcastle.
So that will be a massive game. And depending on the boys' next couple of games, it might actually be worth playing that as the headline game, to be fair. I think we'll have to win every game. I think Western United have they've got the Wanderers, and they've got someone else that they Canberra. We've got Canberra United, and I think Canberra
all put out of there. They're lurking around. Yeah, Perth are shot up a bit. They're not to be taken lightly at the moment.
So yeah, so we've left ourselves a bit of work to do, but maybe that's a good position to be in, rather than cruising to the finals. So.
Well, John, how about you take care of the young fellas, because and how well
they can. That's what I do. We wax lyrical. That's a term that we use often on Sky Blue Stories, but we really do about the NPL side, no matter what the result. And again, a little bit from my intro, boys, you know, this is the future, hopefully, for a lot of these players. And some of the players are now just performing week in and week out, which is fantastic to see. I know Jimmy Van Wieren is extremely proud of where they're at. That's three wins on the bounce, Sean. I think we're up to sixth on the NPL table.
I feel sorry. Sorry, boys. I wrote you off last week.
Yeah, we weren't holding high hopes, were we? We weren't holding high hopes. But look, it was an exceptionally warm afternoon for the boys over at Adenza Park against City United, who were, I think, 7 games, 1 loss, 6 wins, I think, prior to the weekend. Mm. Or could have been 5 from 6, but they'd lost one game anyway. And the good thing was that, you know, the superstars of the NPL in Segicic, Gerdwood Reich, Lucas Smyth, Aaron Gerd, all got game time again. For NPL, and that could be why we were sort of seeing, you know, some decent results in there. But it took until almost the last kick of the game, last header of the game, for young Mitch Glasson to get the winner.
Off the bench too, Jono. 2 weeks in a row, he's come off the bench and scored a goal and a very bloody crucial one.
Absolutely, absolutely. You've seen Matt Scarsella around the first team squad now, so it's looking likely that behind Jake Gerdwood-Reich, Matt is probably the next midfielder coming through that academy system, along with Oscar Priestman. Mm. Once again, though, boys, I just wanted to call out Adam Pavlicic. Some of the saves that he made against, you know, basically premier opposition.
And tell me and the like, yeah.
In Sydney United, were just outstanding. You wouldn't find a better goalkeeping performance across the A-League, let alone the NPL. And once again, you know, we're seeing players get continual starts now in Alan Harbass, who's been on the scorer sheet for the last few weeks, and Clayton Taylor. I'm a big fan of Clayton Taylor's. I think he's the next, he's possibly the next to either get a contract, A-League contract with Sydney FC, or he'll get one elsewhere because he's that good. So it's great to see. It's wonderful to see the boys doing so well. I don't think even, you know, Jimmy Van Wieren himself and the coaching staff would have potentially expected them to be in such a good position on the table this early on. So
how does he do it, John? Jules, he's insane, Jimmy. What he does and the magic that he sprinkles and how he.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love to sit in on a session and just and see how he operates, because I think he's obviously worked out a way how to, again, get the best out of his players, whether they're, you know, 16 years old and playing first grade and, yeah, babies, and he's making them play against, you know, obviously men, and they're stepping up to the challenge. So I think the self-belief that he's obviously instilling in these young lads is brilliant, because let's be honest. I mean, self-belief is pretty easy to come by when you're young. You're pretty brash and you think, you know, you're invincible, but channeling that into a positive way and getting the most and most effort is actually probably a very difficult thing to do. So regardless if you're playing at the highest level possible. So he's doing incredible. I think he was my hero of the week a few weeks ago, and rightfully so. He's managed to bottle this, you know, goal that he's done with this squad year after year after year, iteration after iteration and change, and he still manages to do it. So, yeah, kudos to him, man. Unbelievable.
And if we're not careful, other clubs will end up pinching our coaches too, not just players, you know what I mean? Because he's that bloody good. He's so good.
Yeah.
What he can do with these young fellas, and a lot of personnel change each and every week. Players are there, sometimes they're not. You know, our A-League players like your Segicic's, and I didn't say that pronounced probably anyway. Aaron Gerd's and the like. And
that was pretty good, sure.
Yeah, he's just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. give him the
credit. It's great to see. The boys play Blacktown City in another, that'll be another very challenging game Friday night, 24th of March at Valentine Park for a 7:30 PM kickoff for anyone after some real football on a Friday night. I'm sure the boys would appreciate any support that they can get out there.
Well, I'm going to say they're going to lose because I know they'll prove me wrong.
Do you know what? It could be their strongest lineup of the season, given that the A-League men have a bye with the international break. So you could see Jaden Kucharski get minutes. You obviously won't see Alex Parsons, unfortunately.
Maybe Paddy Wood.
Sega. Yeah, Girdwood, Reich, they should all be starting unless they need a break from minutes, but I don't think anyone's really in that position. Maybe Segacic coming off his Asian campaign. But yeah, so it'll be a great lineup and can't wait to see how they turn out against Blacktown City Demons.
Yeah. Is that their name, Blacktown City Demons?
Yeah, I think they dropped the demons. Well,
I think they dropped the demons.
They changed their badges here, their emblem.
They still, it's still there, though. So nice. It's still there in the background. Yeah. It's still there. Absolutely. We spoke about briefly the A-League women's game, but let's go there now, Sean.
Sunday the 25th, up the road, Kogra, 3 PM kickoff. And it'll be a lovely afternoon. I think it's, you know, fairly mild conditions this weekend, this coming week, as opposed to last weekend. A big game, Adelaide are pretty well, like you said, John, all the teams that we're playing are below us. In saying that, Ante will have them up and going. I hope the girls are smarting from the weekend. Maka was everywhere last weekend. She's everywhere. Crazy.
She is.
She's incredible. But
even on Sky Blue Stories.
Yeah. Check that episode out. Do yourself a favor. I expect the girls to get a win, especially with the likes of Maddie Haley back. Charlotte probably still another month or so away, you know, at this stage. But look, they'll channel the frustration and disappointment of not finishing that game. I had so much already rehearsed in my head when I was watching that game. And I was actually quite pleased with how they played. And then as soon as that goal went in, that really pissed me off. So, but look, I'm confident the girls will get the win. They'll have the usual starting three up front with Rachel dropping to the bench and Shay, Sarah and Maka pulling the strings in midfield. I don't think Adelaide, I think are about seventh or eighth or something on the table thereabouts. I don't think they can make finals. Disappointing season for them after doing quite decently, making the top four last season. But I'm confident the girls can get the chocolates on the weekend. I think what Ante will want to see most of all is a clean sheet. Yeah, goals are great. Obviously, you score more than what you can see, but I don't think he'll be happy with conceding goals in the last couple of weeks. Yeah, so what, Adelaide eighth? Okay, yeah. So
They did beat us on the first opening day of the season.
They did. So, that's right. That's right.
Revenge.
Yeah. So revenge. I'm confident the girls can maybe get a good solid 2-0 win.
Yeah, I think with Madison Haley back in the side, Courtney Vine's going to be pissed off because she didn't get the winner in the end last week. And Princess Abini loves a goal at Cogra, Sean. So.
She does.
I'm going to say it's going to be a comfortable minimum 3-goal victory.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to say 4-0.
Yeah.
I think we're coming back with a vengeance. I think that this is the...
Pissant town.
Yeah, we're going to smash the pissants.
Love it. And as we know, there's no A-League men's this week. So, boys... Are we going to have a week off next? Do we get a week off next week too? What's going on?
Maybe we do.
I think
we do now. Maybe we do.
But I think, I think that'll do well. I'm actually going to head out to the Socceroos.
Lovely.
On Friday night. See everyone's favourite Socceroo, Redders.
Very good. On the
bench. So no A-League men for a couple of weekends time, which means the only thing left to talk about is
Jules's game next Wednesday.
Oh, I was going to say
this Wednesday, baby, tomorrow night.
Oh, no, this tomorrow night. Yeah. I will do that after here at the villains, Jules.
I was going to say that for general business, but, you know, general whatever.
Yeah.
Come at me. Come at
me. I thought this was America. All right, let's get our villains out of the way, because I'm pretty sure I could probably much have an educated guess out of all of them. So let's go age before beauty, I should say. The lovely dulcet tones of Samuel L. Jackson.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane! Everybody strap in! I'm about to open some fucking windows.
Villain of the week is... it's kind of Derby related, I guess, but my villain of the week is fan media saying and printing things that... slanderous and libelous, and could actually get them in a lot of fucking trouble, and they should really watch themselves with what they put out into the Twitter sphere and on their channels, because you can't simply go around and accuse players of things that they did not do, and that there is no evidence that they did, and that in fact, if they did do that, I'm not sure how any professional football club would allow them to not only train or play on the weekend. So pretty outrageous fucking stuff from those Westies. But that's my villain of the week, is people absolutely making up bullshit sources and running with it.
And Jules, who's been bad to the bone this week?
Bad to the bone. Well, I think it's pretty obvious who I would pick. Unfortunately, Corica, I have to say, probably the tipping point, if it wasn't for the frustration with the tactics or the frustration with playing players out of position, or the frustration of just about everything that's happened this season. Apathy, seemingly apathy, just hands in pockets sort of stance on the sideline. It was the fact that after the final whistle, shook a few hands, sort of was looking around as if didn't know where to go, and proceeded to go straight down the tunnel after full time. I don't give a fuck who you are. If we've had a performance like that, any coach in any league and any world, when you lose to your rivals like that, you go over and applaud your fans that have had to sit through that shit. And yes, you cop the verbal abuse. If it's verbal abuse that's lashed out at you, then as long as it doesn't get into, you know, dangerous territory and personal or about family, then you accept it. You just cop it on the chin, because you probably need to take that on the chin for the club as well. So, yeah, that's my villain of the week.
And my...
A reptile wins
of the week is well, you stole mine, so fuck you. It was Corica again, but I thought Paolo. I thought it's going to have to be Paolo for me. His effort or lack thereof to shut down Callum was just reprehensible. Mm. That is just not that's not acceptable. And there was a moment, and it's on the highlight reels as well, unfortunately, because yeah. He was outside the edge of the box of our own defensive third, or outside our own 18-yard box, and he's fucking playing with it. I remember turning to my mate Andrew going, he's going to fucking lose it. Just get rid of it. Play the ball, and he loses it. And then Redders has to pull up a really fucking great save at his near post, which really pissed off Redders, which I don't blame him. But just his efforts on the weekend was just unacceptable and not becoming of a Sydney FC player, especially one who is starting each week. So... Paolo, you're my reptile. But let's finish off on a high note with some heroes. So, Jules, let Dave Grohl take you away with a bit of "There Goes My Hero." There
goes my hero. So, my hero of the week is sort of a dual part one. So,
ooh,
it's
more than one hero this week.
Yes, it is. Jeez. So, it's both the Sydney FC faithful that were there, particularly the Cove on the night of the the game we shall never speak of again. and the reaction in unison following that from the Sydney FC soccer Twitter sphere. I think everybody is singing from the same hymn sheet. So there's solidarity in our pain and also in our, I guess, mindset into where this has got to go moving forward, which, you know what, if we're going to be positive and end this podcast on a positive note, that's one thing that we've been quite disjointed, even in the differing opinions on what the direction is for the men's side moving forward. I think we're all in agreement now of where this has to go. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like, when it's going to happen, but it is when. So I'm looking forward to the future. I can't wait for it. Let's get through the season and let's go onwards and upwards for this great club. I can be your hero, baby.
I can kiss away the pain. I've taken a holistic club view in my Hero of the Week this week. And continuing on a little bit from our NPL review earlier, boys, I think on Sky Blue Stories, we're quite well known for supporting the entire club. We're not just an A-League men's podcast, which, you know, we know we get a lot of feedback about, and we do appreciate that everyone is keen on hearing about what's happening around the entire club, whether it's the men's, women's, or NPL or other. So my heroes of the week is the Sydney FC NPL side, who currently sits sixth on the NPL senior men's ladder. And when you look at the other A-League men's clubs involved in that competition, they are 14th, 15th, and 16th.
Wanderers, Central Coast, and MacArthur, hey?
They are. So they are third last, second last, and last. And SNFC currently in sixth position, like I said, on the back of three wins. They got a win to open the season, then had a couple of losses, but they've bounced back. Brilliant job. And harping back to my introduction tonight on Sky Blue Stories, they give us a little bit of joy in everything they do. So thank you to the NPL team.
And also thanks to the NPL team. Awesome. And this is how good they are, Jono. When they had that narrow 3-2 loss against Olympic, gave them a really good shake. Olympic haven't won a game since.
We wore them down.
Yeah, they've lost four in a row. And the Greeks, I can hear them from Belmore, they're calling for the coach's head. A pig on a spear, lots of luck.
Because he's an ex-Wanderer, that was their first mistake.
Yeah, they should have known better. Exactly. A little bit of Bonnie Tyler now for my Hero of the Week. Can we get back into the habit of talking about who's our hero and villain of the week so we don't clash? Because, Jules, you stole my hero and villain. And Jono, you stole my hero.
Yeah.
I was going to say Jimmy, and then I was like, okay, or Pav, and then I was going to say Mitch Klassen. I could say any one of those, but I'll go somewhere else. I was going to actually, I'll elevate this person who is just going to be an honorable mention, but now he's going to have to be my hero of the week because he's just a funny fucker. And I've said this before, Jules, there's no way that you and this man are related because he's so much funnier than you. I'm sorry, you must be adopted. But your dad is hilarious. The year is 2030. Steve Corica, in an effort to mix things up, gives 23-year-old Mitch Glasson his senior debut in the 88th minute at Sydney FC Trail Olympic in a crucial second division match. It's not enough, but Corica is given a 2-year extension because we had more shots than them. Zing. It's very good. Yeah. And then I like this morning's one with the Caballo's going through his all-time El Clasico, and your dad's like, oh, how about El Crapico from the weekend? You know, he's a funny fucker, your old man.
He's not bad with it.
But also he had some really good takes of how we're traveling this season, and calls a spade and plays with a very straight bat. So Mr. Bombach, you're my hero of the week. I think that might have been my second or third time this season, but
I reckon he calls a spade a fucking shovel just quietly.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, the most important, before we sign off tonight, boys, the most important news and the most important football match that we'll talk about that you must get out and support this week, Julian, is...
I'll put it on the run sheet for next week.
Yeah,
we Quakers can Hill be... Junior Soccer Football Club.
Yeah.
The Green Machine.
A Football Australia round, what do we say, round two, round three?
Australia Cup.
It's a round three Australia Cup, round three game against Marrickville Football Club. The Red Devils.
Boom.
Fucking hate the Red Pricks.
So, yeah, fingers crossed.
No
sorry.
I heard they're no good.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully it'll be a good match regardless. Let's just put it that way. So,
home game for Quakers.
First ever home game that we've actually been able to host at our home ground. It's always, even if it's a home game, it's been at other grounds because of ground availability or renovations. But yeah,
has the council put the goalposts up yet? Are they doing it?
Yes, they did a few. Yeah. Oh God, I'd be having a heart attack if they hadn't done it. But yeah, no, everything's good.
Where is this home ground, Julian? Where is this home ground?
Quakers Hill Park on Walker Street, Quakers Hill. So for anybody in Western Sydney that goes for the right club still, that listens to this podcast, get down, support. If you've got anything green, wear it down. If you don't, that's all good because the club store will be open anyway, so you can grab some.
Nice.
What's the food situation tomorrow night? Well, tonight, if you're
So it's a saucy sizzle. That's all we're putting on tomorrow night, just the traditional saucy sizzle with meat pies and that as well in the canteen. They haven't got the gaff
steakhouse meal down the road.
Yeah, they haven't got the gaff meal going just yet, which is a Canadian club can and bratwurst with sauerkraut and mustard.
Oh.
But they haven't done that yet. So
next round, surely.
Yeah, next round against hopefully NPL side again. That'll be pretty
cool. Well, in all seriousness, very good luck, Gaff.
Thanks, man.
I hope you progress in that, and we look forward to following that journey for a long, long time yet to come on Sky Blue Stories. Boys, it's been I think we got through that without any tears, which is nice. might have made some people cry listening, but that's okay. Mm. We will have next week off, I've decided. It's been decided. So
executive decision.
We'll take a week off. We'll return in the aftermath of the Western United game. So that sounds like good times. Gents, thanks for your time as always on Sky Blue Stories. Thanks for listening. Thanks for everyone's interactions and feedback. And do support Sydney FC, any of the three sides that you can over the next couple of weeks. And we'll talk to you all very soon.